How often do we see these words put on a box that you get shipped through the mail, handle with care?
Yep.
In an ideal, perfect world, that box would come and it would be still nice and crisp and no dents, you know? Nothing would be damaged. But in the real world, that's not so true, is it?
No.
Handle with care usually means nothing. The box...
You might get the box,
yeah. I ordered a $200 textbook for my daughter, and they said they delivered it here, and it's not here. So they left it on the doorstep. So handle with care. But usually they're overlooked, aren't they? And the packages come, and we open them, and things are damaged or dented or ripped. Or I've seen boxes that have handle with care, and there's dents in them and holes in them. So I wonder if God were to put a handle with care label on people, how we would treat people. Would we likewise ignore the handle with care label on people? How often is the heart of a person crushed? Or how often is the spirit of a child broken? You know, we don't necessarily look at each other and handle each other with care either. Words and actions can damage and wound us every day. They wound people every day. And healing and restoration to the human heart can be very slow and difficult process, and most times only God can make those wounds new again. So the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. So tonight we're going to talk about what is gentleness, how do you develop gentleness, and then what the purpose of gentleness is. You'll be surprised what the purpose of gentleness is. So there's the Greek word for gentleness. I'm not going to pronounce it. I just want to show you it's a weird word, okay? You know, and we've talked about how the Bible was written, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek, and they had so many words to express themselves, and the English language is so limited that we use words that don't necessarily define the words correctly. But the best two English words that we could probably get is meekness, right? Or for gentleness. But it's a center between two extremes. And I was looking at on the internet the other day, and I was looking at Aristotle, who is a philosopher, and he talked about gentleness meant finding the proper balance in life. Gentleness or meekness maintains a good equilibrium. It's to have a steadiness and stability that will not waver or be moved by any extreme. Now, we wouldn't normally think that gentleness would mean that, would we? We would think stability means that, but not gentleness. But you'll understand before the night's over. So the Greek language is a precise and expressive language. When they developed a word, they not only gave it a careful, definition, but they almost always gave a picture with the word. And the word that the picture that goes along with this word gentleness in the Bible is best illustrated by an animal that's been tamed. So imagine a wild spirit or a wild animal that's been brought under control of its owner. A tamed horse has yielded its strength or submitted its strength. The strength of the animal is no longer wasted wildly, but has been focused in order to fulfill a purpose. So gentleness then is power under control. That's a good way to define gentleness, or submitted strength. A good example would be the power, you know, of the force of water can be focused, and they can run it in a mill, and they can grind all kinds of wheat with a mill, or it can go through a dam, and they can turn large turbines and create electricity for a whole city. That's the controlling the power of water. It's the power of water under control. But if the force and the power of water is out of control, we see floods and tsunamis and hurricanes and. So that's would be a good example of power not in control. It brings death and destruction to the world. So gentleness is power under control. Is gentleness is power under control. It's a submission of our strength and our will to God's control and purpose. So, gentleness doesn't. Gentleness is another. Meekness is another word. It doesn't necessarily mean you're weak. It means that you're submitting your strength and your power under God's control. So it's strength under control. Therefore, it's the fruit of the Spirit that God has, or that brings us under God's control. Remember throughout the series, as we're talking about fruit of the Spirit, remember it's fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. And so it's not like a fruit market where you can go and pick and choose which fruits you're going to use and which ones you're not going to use. The fruit of the Spirit is one fruit that we develop, and it grows within our lives. And remember that love is a blossom through which the fruit is produced. So without love, there is no fruit. And so gentleness is love touching, is a good another word for gentle, or way to express gentleness. Love expresses gentleness through tender touch. Without gentleness, love doesn't touch other people. So if you didn't have gentleness, how would you touch people with love? It's when you say you love someone, usually you say it with a gentle voice. When you show someone you love them, usually it's with a gentle touch. Without gentleness or meekness, our touch is harmful, usually, instead of helpful. Painful rather than pleasing. Selfish rather than selfless. Only as our strength is submitted to God, and only as the power that's in us is brought under the control of the Spirit through love, can we reach out and touch one another with gentleness, without harming each other. So gentleness is a balance between two extremes. It's the strength submitted to God, it's power under control. It's love touching. So how do we develop gentleness? Well, we know, just like any of the other fruit of the Spirit, we develop it by abiding in Christ, right? But I want to show you two ways tonight that we can develop gentleness. When a horse is tamed, a horse can be tamed in one of two ways. It can be tamed forcefully, or it can be tamed gently, right? You've seen a cowboy with a whip and spurs try to break a horse, and they get on that horse, and they're going to break that horse, and that horse is going to calm down, and it usually does. They usually can get that horse tamed. It's not an easy task, but they can get it. It's a rough job, but the horse eventually submits to its strength, to its owner, and it's ridden. And a horse also can be tamed gently. By using the same ways that horses communicate with each other, through sound and touch. And as a horse handler works with a horse, it will eventually grow to trust the handler and be ridden. So God develops gentleness within us in similar ways. Just like the horse can be tamed differently, so too can God teach us gentleness. Sometimes we learn by the example of His gentle touch. And other times we learn gentleness through hard times and hard circumstances. So let's look at how God teaches us gentleness through His gentle touch. If we look at Psalm 103, 10 and 11, it says, He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Because we know if He treated us as our sins deserve, there would be no gentleness, would there? We'd be all sitting on coals. But for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. The Message Bible says, so strong is His love. Remember, strength under control is what gentleness is. So even though His love is strong, it's under control. God has not crushed us. He doesn't treat us like our sins deserve to be treated. Instead, with gentleness, God's love touches us. And God has shown us His love by His gentle touch. And we can see the gentle touch of God in how Jesus dealt with people. Jesus is the perfect example of what it means for us to be gentle to one another. I want to just briefly look at three events in the life of Jesus that show God's gentle touch. The first one is a Samaritan woman. John chapter 4, we're not going to read it. But we all know the story. Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, and He offered her living water. He told her that she had five husbands, and the man she was living with, she wasn't married to. The point here is that he was gentle with her. He didn't condemn her. He didn't tell her she was going to fry like eggs. He didn't whip her, right? He didn't condemn her, treat her in a threatening way, but he spoke to her in love. And through Jesus' gentle touch, salvation came not only to that woman, but to the people of her city as well. Jesus didn't push her away as an outsider, but reached beyond prejudice with a gentle touch to include her in God's gift of salvation. In John chapter 8, Jesus' gentle touch is exhibited through the immoral woman caught in adultery. We know that the men gathered around, the people of the city gathered around, they wanted to stone her for being in adultery. And Jesus told them, he who is without sin should cast the first stone. Jesus didn't condemn this woman for her sin. He had the right to throw the first stone because he didn't sin, right? But instead he reached out with her and he gently touched her and told her to go and sin no more. In Luke 19, Jesus' gentle touch for the dishonest and self-centered Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Others hated Zacchaeus. Everybody hated the tax collector because he not only collected taxes for Caesar, but he collected taxes for himself too. They were greedy. He cheated people out of their money. Bitterness and resentment, along with a fair dose of jealousy, caused others to push Zacchaeus away. He was a dishonest man who would never change his ways in the world's eyes. And it was the gentle touch of Jesus that transformed his life. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. So why didn't Jesus condemn these people? Why didn't he treat them as their sin deserves? Jesus didn't come to judge us, to crush and destroy people for their sin. He came in gentleness to restore our relationship with God. Jesus came to save the lost through God's gentle touch. We all know the verse, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then usually we stop there. And thankfully, we're among those who believe in God's Son and are recipients of his great love. But there's more. If we read the next verse, we see how God's gentle touch is reaching out to the world. It says, for God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So we always stop there, don't we? But we never go further to see how gentle God is. He didn't come in to condemn the world. He came in to save the world. Jesus reaches out to the outsider. He reaches out to the immoral. He reaches out to the dishonest. He reaches out to the self-centered, all with a gentle touch. And so how will we respond to these people if they came into our church? Are we a church that will welcome anyone with a gentle touch? Or are there some people we would just rather not have a part of our church? How do we treat our neighbors who aren't like us? Do we respond with prejudice, or do we have a gentle touch? How will we treat a friend who has been immoral? Do you condemn them? Or we have a gentle touch and love them back into the relationship with God? What about those who have been dishonest and selfish? Will we push them away, or are we going to have a gentle touch? So the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, strength submitted to God. Remember, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the saints. Sometimes we think that we have the fruit, it's our fruit, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to be gentle. We can't do it without the Spirit of God. So it enables us to be gentle so we can reach out and touch those different from ourselves. We can extend God's loving touch to those who are lost in sin. All around us, there's people who are broken and hurting, empty and searching for love and acceptance. God doesn't condemn them. He loves them. And we're called to gently touch them with God's love. So then God's gentleness sometimes... God develops gentleness in us through forceful or difficult circumstances. You know, if you have a piece of wood that's rough and it's got slivers on it, how do you smooth that? You take sandpaper on it, right? And you rub it and you rub it and you rub it till it smooths out, right? That's not a gentle touch, is it? Something rougher and stronger is applied to the surface of wood to remove the rough spots. How is muscle developed and toned? If you don't work your muscles, you don't get toned. You know, as I've been riding my bike this summer, I notice I don't ride as far as fast as I did 15 years ago, because my muscles they don't have the same resistance as they did 15 years ago. So God wants to develop gentleness within our lives, and sometimes He's going to use difficult situations that we find tough or we want to resist. Gentleness can develop through people who oppose you. If we look at 2 Timothy 2:25, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge of the truth. Gentleness will grow in you when people fail you. In 1 Peter 3:9, I don't have that verse up there. I'll read it to you anyway. Yep. It says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." So when people fail you, you don't repay them with evil. You repay them with blessings. Gentleness can increase through correction. If we look at Proverbs 4:13, it says, "Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." So we need instruction sometimes. Proverbs 13:13 in the New Living says, "People who despise advice are asking for trouble. Those who respect a command will succeed." So what is the purpose for gentleness? God's purpose for gentleness is to not to make us a doormat for people to walk on and take advantage of. Remember, meekness is not weakness. Gentleness is a strength submitted to God. Gentleness is love touching. So a picture speaks 1,000 words. So here's a picture. This is from April 19th, 1995, when the federal building in Oklahoma City was bombed. And so in this picture, Fire Captain Chris Fields, a man of strength, right, carries a one-year-old from the bombing. So here is a picture of strength under control. This man is probably strong enough to tear this little girl's limb from limb, right? But he's under control. He's taking care and coddling that woman to rescue and restore this child. Remember Paul's instruction to Timothy. We just read this. Those who opposed him should be instructed gently. Again, why? It says opponents must gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. God wants to rescue and restore those who are helpless. That's his goal. They have fallen into the trap of the devil. Satan wants to destroy their lives, but God wants to bring healing and hope to their lives. God wants to rescue them with gentleness. Any one of us could find ourselves in need of gentleness and need to be rescued. Think about a spider who spins a web to catch a fly. Satan spins a web to try to trap us in the deadly snare of sin. Lost my thought. I was going to say something about a spider. I don't know why. Because I was using the spider's web. God wants us to go and gently restore those entangled by sin, is what he wants us to do. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted." We'll talk about that second part in a minute. But so, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. So gentleness restores those caught in sin. That's the first part of God's purpose of gentleness. Did you notice the second part? It protects us. Gentleness protects us. The fireman who goes in to rescue people, he doesn't just run in a t-shirt and shorts, does he? He puts on 75 pounds of equipment before he goes in to a burning building. Some of their strength that they have is directed at protecting themselves. So some of the strength that a fireman uses is carrying all that equipment in before they can protect someone else. So with gentleness, we're to restore those caught by sin, but at the same time, we're to be on guard. We're to watch ourselves, or we may also be tempted. We're going into dangerous territory when we go out into the world. And so let gentleness protect you from falling into sin yourself. So gentleness is submitted strength, power under control. Gentleness is love touching. How is gentleness developed in our lives? Through God's gentle touch, and sometimes through situations or resistance, difficult situations. Why should we be gentle? Through gentleness, we can rescue and restore those caught by sin and protect ourselves from temptation. Let God truly strengthen you through gentleness, because He'll work in your heart if you're gentle. So what about you? Would people describe you as gentle? Think about that tonight. Remember, it doesn't mean to be powerless. It doesn't mean to be weak, but it means to have your power under control. Remember also what I said about each of the fruits of the Spirit. They're about God creating them in us. And God creates gentleness inside of us as we live by the Spirit. We begin to see one another through God's eyes. And we start to see each other how God sees each other, sees us. And then we want to treat each other with gentleness. As we let the Spirit control us, we begin to understand that others around us are fragile and they have a handle with care label on them. We understand that people are the way they are often because of how they've been hurt in the past. We see through the facade and recognize that underneath there's a person who is tender or wounded or feeling trapped or alone or even threatened. We begin to understand that when others act the way they act, they're usually acting that way because of hurt, because they haven't been treated gentle. They're almost always lashing out from some source of deep personal pain that they've had in their lives. And if we have that understanding, then we're able to change how we respond to those people. When we recognize what's going on with other people through the Spirit changes our desires from that impatient, arrogant, or revengeful attitude to compassion, tenderness, and gentleness. We don't want to hit back. We want to reach out with love and compassion and gentleness. The absolute greatest way I know to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in forming gentleness in us is to follow Jesus' command and pray for our enemies. If you're struggling with gentleness, start praying for your enemies, because then you'll start to learn gentleness. You can even begin by praying all those nasty things that you're thinking, because God knows them already anyway. So why not just say them out loud? And then once you've vented, keep praying for them. And as you pray for them, and as you let the Spirit lead you to pray, your negative impulses will be replaced by compassion, and then by gentleness. And as you see the others, people, the way God sees them. You know, gentleness is not highly valued in our society. People don't want to be gentle. I'm tough. The tough guys, right? You see them all over the place. In Philippians, it tells us, let your gentleness be evident to all. So we don't have to play tough, right, Jim? You don't have to play tough all the time. Just sometimes. Colossians says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And 1 Timothy says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteous, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So the kingdom of God wants us to be gentle. There should be no reason that any of us, if we have the Spirit of God in us, shouldn't be gentle. It should be very easy, because all we have to do is look in the mirror and say, Lord, look at what you did to me. You were gentle. Lord, look what you brought me from. You were gentle. Lord, you didn't whip me and hang me from a cross. You were gentle. Lord, you hung from the cross and took my sins on you. That was gentle. So if the Lord can be gentle with me, then I need to be gentle with you. And if the Lord can be gentle with you, then you need to be gentle with everyone else. Does that make sense? So gentleness, you know, as I study this, the thing that really got me is gentleness is our way of recovering people who are in the snare of the devil. because they're the worst people to deal with. And you know what? If we're impatient, and if we're ornery, and if we're snotty, and if we're selfish, we don't want to deal with people who are living in sin. We're too impatient for that because we're pious Christians and we don't have time for sinners, right? But gentleness, if we have gentleness, the spirit of gentleness in us, it allows us to help recover people from the snare of the devil. But then it also helps us to protect ourselves from that same sin. So work on gentleness. Next week, self-control.